Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
It is our summer series, Front Porch Wisdom, as we are going through the book of Proverbs. And each week, again, we are going over a different topic, as Proverbs presents just a lot of different information. And this week, money. And money is one of those things that is probably, quite possibly, the most sensitive subject to talk about in church. For a variety of reasons, it is a very sensitive topic. One of those, that's certainly not the least reason, is because has a very bad reputation over issues related to money. Historically, the church at times in this area, all the way back to the idea of selling indulgences in order to fund the church, and giving people the idea that they could purchase a terrible stain on the church. We've given some people the impression we want is money. All we care about is people's money. And it is a truth that the church to operate is dependent upon financial contributions from supporters. But today we're really talking about giving. That's certainly part of money, but really what we're talking about in Proverbs is the heart of money and how money can affect our heart and affect the way that we view God, that we view the world around us. And so my heart will receive these words from the Lord and be open to what God's word has to say to you about money in this message here. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 30. Before we get into that, let's just pause and commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we do thank you for your word and how it instructs us. Lord, there's depth in this book. We are just on the surface of all that you have for us in this. And today, we receive what it is that you have for us. And God, that you would be glorified in this. And that we would grow as a result of spending this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Proverbs 30 is one of the few sections in the book of Proverbs where Solomon, King Solomon, is not the author of it. Chapter 30 is a man named son of Jakeh. I'm thinking I said that right. Now, we don't really know anything about this author, but as part of God's word, God intended it for us, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us through his word. This chapter, this section, it's written as an oral proclamation from Augur. It reads a little bit differently than some of the other sections in Proverbs. And in this here, in the particular area that we're talking about, he identifies two problems when it comes to money. There's two things that he wants to avoid here. And one is having too little money, and the other is having too much money. So we're going to look at these two problems and see what wisdom Proverbs can give us about the problem of too much money or too little money. Now, when we talk about having too much or too little, what do we mean by that? How much are we talking about, or how little are we talking about? And really, it's in verse 8 it for us earlier. It's in verse 8 where he about here. And he says these words. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor wealth with the food I need." You see, God will always supply your needs. But then what about these moments in times of life where maybe we have more than we need, or in a situation where we have less than is needed. And that's really what Augur on is this idea of when we have too much or not enough. So first we're going to tackle this, the idea of too much money. And I thought this was kind of funny when I was studying through this and working this, I was reminded of the old country song where they sing about having too much fun, and you know, that's like too much money. There's no such thing, is the line in the song. And you know, it's hard to think about too much money, but there's some important things here that Augur identifies and we have to wrestle with about when we have more than we need or we have too much money. Identifies this in verse 9 is that it can lead our hearts astray. It can lead us away from the Lord. In verse 9, he puts it this way. He says, otherwise, you know, so don't give me wealth, don't give me poverty. And the first part here in verse 9, otherwise I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? This idea where he's got so much now that he looks at the Lord, or he thinks about the Lord, he's like, hey, I've got everything that I need. Everything's taken care of. I don't need you, God. Who are you? I don't need you. I've got this under control. And the money begins to become the attention and the focus of our lives sometimes. And we start worshiping the money. And when we have more than we need, and then we start worrying about, well, how am I going to keep it? How am I going to save it? How am I going to keep it coming in? And our focus is on that. And we start comparing, start thinking about, well, is my net worth more than theirs? Is my vacation better than theirs? Are my toys or my equipment, is it better than theirs? And we start comparing ourselves to other people and all these things. And all of that is rooted in the fact that we have more than we need. And so these other things start coming up in our hearts. And this conflict and this and how much attention we have on that. And the reality is that any of those things are not necessarily wrong. But any one of them can lead us astray, can start become the focus of our heart instead of our heart being on God. And so that's the first danger, the first problem of being in a position where we have more than we need, is it can begin to lead our heart astray and we begin to forget about the Lord. The second one is we forget about others. Proverbs 22:16 tells us this. It says, oppressing the poor to enrich oneself and giving to the rich both lead only to poverty. This idea of oppressing the poor to enrich oneself. See, when our focus, when our attention is money, and we have more than we need, and we're trying to get more, we begin to view other people as a means to an end, and not as a person in and of themselves. And so we begin to view them not as an actual person who's made in God's image that is loved by God, but we see them as someone we can extract more money from. And that's what Proverbs 22 is talking about. Viewing the poor not as someone who God loves and needs help, but as someone I can manipulate, I can take advantage of, and I can get even more from them because I'm in the position of power, because I'm the one with the money. And we're told here that this practice will ultimately leave us in poverty as well. And the reason for that is because God cannot bless or will not bless the one who is oppressing the poor to enrich themselves. The one who is viewing others just as a way to get more from them, looking to care for them and bless them because they are loved by God. And I know that this is not, it is a generalization, I'll say. It's not a hard and fast rule. But when studies are done on generosity, and the general pattern that occurs is that as increases, the percentage of that income that they give away generally does not, it generally goes down. The percentage goes down because there's something that money does to our hearts. if we are not careful. Now, it doesn't have to happen that way. And there are people that I know and people that I read about. God gives them more resources. They even just staying the same percentage, but they start bumping that up all the way to, I've read of individuals that give 90 and live on 10. And that blows me away. That's such a blessing that they are able to do that, because God has continued to bless the generosity. But in general, when we look at giving in our culture, and this is not just the churches, this is just general giving, that as we earn more, we generally give less of a percentage. There's something that happens in our hearts that we have to be aware of and we have to be careful of. The third one, and this I think is even more dangerous, is this. There's a false sense of security that develops. A false sense of security. Money can give us this false sense of security. Proverbs 11, verses 4 and 7, tells us this. It says, wealth is not profitable on a day of wrath, but righteousness rescues from death. When the wicked person dies, his expectation comes to nothing, and hope placed in wealth vanishes. This is a dangerous thing. For some reason, there is a deception that comes when we increase in wealth. And the deception that is that I no longer have any needs. I am so insulated by the resources that I have, I forget about daily needs, whether they're physical or otherwise. And somehow, some way, it has this effect on our heart that not only do we think that we no longer have a physical need because we're so protected from the reality of hunger and all that, but we start thinking we don't have spiritual needs as well. We start thinking we don't have spiritual needs. And we think that our money is going to take care of us and it's going to resolve those issues. And we put our hope in our money for those things. But the reality is that we all have a spiritual need. And there is only one way that that spiritual need is addressed. There's only one answer to the spiritual need that any one of us has. That every one of us has. And the answer to that spiritual need is Jesus. His death, his resurrection, and the grace and forgiveness that is available through Jesus Christ is the only answer. But money has this way of making us feel like we have everything taken care of and we have no needs, and that is a danger. In Luke 18, Jesus is approached by the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler wants to get it right. He really desires, he wants to be with Jesus. He recognizes something there. And he tells Jesus, I've followed everything. I've been very religious and I've got it all done right. And here's Jesus' answer beginning in verse 22 of Luke 18. He says this. It says, when Jesus heard this, he told him, you still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. And seeing that he became sad, Jesus said, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now listen, it's not that money prevents you from being born again. That's based on your faith in Jesus Christ. But money can insulate you so much from needs in life that you begin to think that you don't even have a spiritual need and you don't even need Jesus because you are okay and you can handle anything with your money. It twists our hearts in that way. So those are some of the challenges Proverbs points out when we find ourselves in a situation where we have more than we need. The other half of this is when we have too little. The problem of too little money. And the first one, this is what Augur identifies in verse 9, the second half of verse 9 in chapter 30. And he says it this way. He says, that I might have nothing and then steal, profaning the name of my God. See, Augur recognizes that just because someone may not have money doesn't mean the physical needs go away. You still need food to eat. You still need clean water. You still need shelter. All of these things are basic needs in life. And if you cannot provide them, his point is that you might be more tempted to take them by illegitimate means, by stealing. And his point here is that he's not excusing the act of theft, because he says it would be an offense to God. It would be sin. It'd be a need to steal would be in sin. And that even though there may be poverty in place and we may have compassion for them, it is still wrong to do these things, to steal. But he freely admits that the temptation would be much greater. And I get it. If you're in a situation where it's like, let my children starve or steal to do it, I get it. Why the temptation? God's word is clear. It's still sin, but I get why the temptation would be greater. Thankfully, in place to try to help people in these times so that they are not resorting to sin. Now, the second thing here, the second problem, is that we begin to blame God's responsibility ourselves. And this happens in two different ways, all right? So the premise here that we have to understand is that we believe the Bible is very clear that God has said he will provide for our needs. He will provide for our needs. But then when we see a situation where there are people that are starving, and God has said that he will provide, and there are people that are starving, we have a disconnect here. And we have to reconcile that disconnect. And so we ask the question, why? Why does this happen in the world when God, you've said this? Well, the world is because of sin. Plain and simple, it's because of sin. And this first issue here is global system. There's sin in the world and all of the systems that we're broken because of sin here. It is very clear when you start doing research on this, and the relief organizations will tell you this, the world can produce enough food to feed everybody. We can. So what that tells me is that when God says he will provide for our needs, God has given us a world that he has created that can produce enough food for every one of his people. And yet we know that there are people that starve, which tells us it is not God's fault. What he has given us as a world is capable of doing this. And yet we have systems in place. We have corrupt governments. We have greed. We have systemic issues over generations that have created generational poverty. Racism, I think, plays into this, where we have people that do not have access to food because of the sin in the world that is taking place. So we should not be blaming God for the fact that there is still things like hunger going on. That's not on God. That's on us. We've broken the world that God gave us that is capable of providing for everybody. We're the ones that broke it. Mankind, that's on us. All right? So, but that's the global systemic sin, right? Me personally, I'm part of that, but I feel a little bit disconnected from it. It's hard to feel for that. But there are also things where if I find in my life where I have too little, where I might have a personal sin issue in this, okay? So the first one of these is laziness, my own personal laziness. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says this, don't love sleep or you will become poor and you'll have enough to eat. And Proverbs is very clear on this. Work is a good thing. Hard work is a good thing. And work is given to us as a blessing from God. And so we are to work. We are to get up and work. If our job is working the field, we go and we work the field. If we go to an office, we get up, we go to the office. Listen, if you don't show up for work, you don't have a job anymore. And if you don't work your farm, you don't eat. It's basic principles here. Now, I get it that we have things, some of the systems that we have in place to help people can end up getting abused and hinder them, and that's a bit of a separate issue. But the principle here, the reality that Proverbs is talking about is if you eat, you need to work. If you want to have provision, you need to work. All right? So my own laziness can sometimes be the cause of not having enough. The second thing is wrong desires. Wrong desires. 28:19 says this. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. If I make my life about chasing the next greatest thing and trying to have all this different stuff, and I overstretch and I try to have too much and try to fulfill all my fantasies in that, I'm going to end up in financial ruin, and I will find myself without enough. Because my desires are wrong. I was chasing the desires of my heart. Well, guess what? Your heart is wicked and deceitful and sinful. And some of the desires you're chasing are not good desires. We need to check those desires with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes our wrong desires put us eventually in a spot where we don't have enough because we've spent what God gave us in places we should not have sent it. Third one, and this is probably even harder to recognize, is this issue of dishonesty. Elsewhere in Proverbs 28, verse 8, it says, "Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor." See, again, Proverbs makes it clear, you are not to take advantage of the poor for your own financial gain. And in Israel, it was a sin to charge a fellow Israelite interest on money loaned to them. And so if you are taking advantage of someone who is poor because you are in the power position and you're extorting interest from them, God makes it very clear here, his he cannot bless that. That is sin. And he makes it very clear that in time, his justice will prevail and that money will be taken from you and will be given to someone else who will care for the poor. Because you have taken advantage of the poor. And so sometimes our dishonesty, if the way gathered money is by illegitimate means, not just this one thing, but this is a bigger principle that if we have came into our money or earned it through illegitimate means, it is going to be taken away from us. And it may not happen right away. Sometimes God's justice moves slowly. But his word is clear that it will be taken away and given to another. And the last one is this. That when we have too little, it restricts or gives us an inability to bless others. Now, I know many people who are of very humble means that are some of the most generous people that you will find. And they will help out anybody that they can. The thing is, help even more if they had more means to do it. And so the reality is their generosity is limited by their limited resources. And that's unfortunate. Proverbs 22:9 here says, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." It is a blessing to be generous with other people. It is very difficult to find yourself in a situation where you're trying to decide between paying your rent or giving to the Lord's work. Right? Or you're trying to decide between putting food on your or helping someone who's homeless. You want to do both, but money is so tight, you can't do both. And so that becomes a problem there. And so when we do work hard and we do make good choices with what God provides for us, we are able to do both. We can meet the needs of our families, we can provide for others, and we can be a blessing through giving to others. And that is a great place to be able to be in. It is always so difficult when I meet someone who is so gracious, who is so generous, but they're of limited means, and they would love to do more, and they just can't. And so that's why we work. That's why we work hard. That's why we make good choices, so that we can be a blessing to others. And then we get blessed in that. As I said, here in Proverbs, there is a lot of practical wisdom, but today our focus was really on what does money do to our heart, right? What is the heart level of this? And so we're not digging, you know, it's not a financial seminar. There's not, you know, this isn't 8 steps to being financially secure or anything like that, right? But to you in this, and you're thinking, you know, okay, I think it's time. Maybe we need to do some stuff. Maybe we could do better in this area. God, you know, what's the next step? A couple of resources we want to share with you, all right? So the first one is... that went to blue there. .com, if you can't read that, it's hard to read the blue in that. DaveRamsey.com. His program is called Financial Peace University, and it's a great program. I know some folks in our church that have used it. I've known other brothers and sisters in Christ that have used it. And so if you are looking for some next steps to learn a little bit more, some more practical things, you could go there. There's another one. Many of you might remember a man named Larry Burkett, who was on the radio, had a radio program for years and years and years. Larry Burkett's with the Lord now. But his ministry that he started is Crown Financial Ministries. It's crown.org. That's another great Christian organization. More about money and how to be responsible with your money so that you can be a blessing to others. And be able to handle the resources God gives you, know how to prepare and all those kinds of things. So it's just to go practice. All right, great ministries to look at, to study with, and get involved with for you. So before we continue in worship, let's just go ahead and pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It teaches us, how it instructs us, how it speaks to our hearts. And God, this is a challenging area, Lord. We so quickly feel judged in the way we manage resources and how we do with our money. God, my prayer would just be that our hearts would be open to whatever it is that you are speaking to us in this area, God. Lord, if there's anybody who needs next steps, God, may they have the courage to explore these ministries and go in that area. God, our desire is that, Lord, that you would be blessed first and foremost in our lives. And that includes how we steward the things you've blessed us with. And so we just pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.